Well, hello everyone, and thank you for joining us for another Basic Conversation. And Father Basic, today we're going to continue with our discussion of Pope Leo.
Yes.
Last episode we talked about Pope Leo the 13th as somehow connected to Pope Leo the 14th. And today, how about we talk about maybe some of the ways that Pope Leo will be similar to the way Pope Francis did things, and maybe some things that are slightly different.
That sounds good to me. It's almost like Pope Francis set him up to be the Pope. They put him in the right positions, gave him the right jobs, made him a cardinal right before the voting. 2023 made him a cardinal and put him in charge of an office, in what they call it, a dicastery or a office bureaucratic position in the Vatican about choosing bishops. And so he was tuned into many all these different bishops and so on. For us, one of the big things is he's the first U.S. citizen who's become Pope. That's important. Born in Chicago, South Sider of Chicago, therefore a White Sox fan.
Sure, a White
Not
Sox
a Cubs
fan.
For sure. Attended the Theological Union in Chicago, which incidentally I taught at. So I taught at the same school that he went to, not at the same time, but that he attended. Went on to Villanova, and Nova's getting the big words these days because the Knicks are playing so well. They got all these Nova guys. So, so we know something general about him. His father was a principal of a school, and his mother was a librarian. So they were well-educated and so on. So we want to look at that connection with Pope Francis. And we need to talk about a word. The Catholic world has to learn a new vocabulary. The new vocabulary is synod, S-Y-N-O-D, synod, or the adjective is synodality, which is even worse. So, but we can learn a new word. And so synod, S-Y-N-O-D, is in root, means something like to walk with, to travel with, to go along with, make the voyage along with. So a synod has that word has that sort of meaning. And to put this larger thing in context, the thing for the Catholic Church has been throughout our own time, how do we get up to date? How do we renew the church? How do we get the church to be a force for good in the world? How do we find a language that speaks to people today? How do we move beyond the ghetto and find our place in the world? And I think people are seeing that Pope Leo, he's in the news a lot, right? And he's in the news about making peace and having peace and so on. Synodality. So Pope John the 23rd said, we're going to renew the church by having a council. The Second Vatican Council, 1962-65. And I say it was a tremendous success. They produced 16 documents. They renewed the church. I think the average Catholic parish today is doing a lot better job as a result of the Second Vatican Council. My foil for that is Russ Douthat. Russ Douthat is a convert to Catholicism and is the New York Times op-ed Catholic. And so he's speaking with it, and he said at one point that the Vatican II was a failure. And I wrote an article in response, didn't get the play that his did in the New York Times, but I wrote an article saying, no, it's been a tremendous success. And if you look at the average parish today, it's running better. The marriage preparation used to be by one priest, one celibate priest, trying to tell people about marriage. Now we got married couples who share their experience. Taking communion to the sick. I used to take communion to the sick. I had a long list of people when I was in St. Mary's in Sandusky. Some of them were rural. So I had to drive. I couldn't spend much time with the people. Today, lay ministers take communion to the sick in St. Mary's in Sandusky, and they spend time with the people. They might help them get their groceries unpacked, or they talk to them. So it's all better. The council did good, 16 documents. However, for our topic tonight, the Second Vatican Council never mentioned the word synod or synodality. It's not in any of the documents. The last session of the council was 62 to 65. And before the last session in 65, Pope Paul VI established on his own, not the council didn't do it. He says we're going to have a synod of bishops. It's the first time. What is a synod of bishops? So by the time Francis comes along to be pope, he says, oh, great idea. I'm going to do that. He established synod of bishops. I'm going to make it real. I'm going to live it out and so on.
Was Pope Francis the first pope to do that?
Yes.
So it was 20.
I won't say nothing happened. That's too broad a statement. It might have been minor things, but it certainly wasn't the main way of renewing the church. So one of the key decisions in the council was, in the dogmatic constitution on the church, was how do we place the material on the pope, the bishops, the hierarchy, and the rest of the people. And so they made a decision in the progression of the dogmatic constitution. They put the chapter on the whole people of God first, before talking about the bishops. Key decision. In other words, they wanted to stress that all baptized people are responsible for the church. All baptized people are called to holiness. All baptized people participate in the priesthood of Christ. And so that's emphasis on the whole. In fact, there's a statement, a quote in the Second Vatican Council, the whole people of God, anointed as they are by the Spirit, cannot err in the matters of faith and morals. It says that. In other words, it's saying it's not just the Pope is infallible in our Catholic teaching, but the whole people of God. And in history, we know, like in the 4th century, the whole people of God was more in tune with where Orthodox teaching was than the bishops were. There were many bishops and didn't accept the Council of Nicaea. So anyway, synodality is an attempt to make real the whole approach of Vatican II to talk about the people of God. And that's what Francis picked up on. We aren't talking about Leo, you know, this is all background. Right. We're talking about Leo the 14th, right? So what is clear is that he is wants to follow the path of Francis. In fact, he has said that. This is not speculation on my part. He has said it. Well, let's give some examples. At one point, he actually said he was going to be more of a synodal pope than Francis, more synodal than Francis. So that means when to say you're going to be synodal means you're going to bring on board the forgotten people. The people who live on the margins, the disaffected people in Mongolia, for example. So Pope Francis notably visited Mongolia that has just a few Catholics and so on. So in synodality, you reach out to the margins, to the periphery, to the forgotten people, and you want to bring them into the conversation. You want to see what they have to say. A whole lot of synodality is to reach out, to bring people together, and to listen. So one of the methods used is we call it conversations in the spirit. Conversations in the spirit. That means, for example, in Rome in 23-24, we had Pope Francis presided over two synods. And importantly, Pope Leo was there I'm going to get back to him, Brad.
It's all tied in.
Yeah, it's right. That's a good synodal statement. So they would have sit at round tables, and they sit about, what do they sit, 12 at a table? I don't remember, 10, 12. And you had conversations in the spirit. Everybody could express their view of the topic, like should we ordain women deacons? Everybody could express their view. And the response, you could not be judgmental. You couldn't say, well, that's crazy. We're not going to do that. You're supposed to try to understand what was said. Understand what did that person say about women deacons that I want to remember or that I would respect. I'm going to listen and see what I can learn, see how we can work together. I remember there was one bishop at the Synod in 2024, and he was sitting at a round table, and they're having their discussion, and lay people are speaking on even terms with him. And he got upset, and he left. He even said, well, I already know all that. I already know all of that. Why am I listening to people who hardly know what they're talking about? So that points out this conversations in the spirit. This has got to be non-judgmental. It's got to be a matter of trying to understand, well, what did you mean by that? That's a good question. It's not a good question to say, oh, the church doesn't teach that. We can't have that.
And the synodality of framework for the basic is meant to be inclusive and collaborative and discourse, but it's not necessarily meant to be democratic, right? There's no voting.
You're right, and that's Pope Leo XIV will make that clear. Francis made it clear. It's not a democracy. It's not a vote. The way it's explained is it's trying to get together and see how the Holy Spirit is moving us. How is the Holy Spirit speaking to us? So we're trying to open our mind and heart to see where the Holy Spirit wants to lead us. And very often you don't get conclusions from synods. It's a process. Synodality is a process. It's an approach. It's the way to live out the notion that the whole people of God are called to holiness. Whole people of God can speak, and we don't want to let anybody out. We want to be inclusive in all of that. So what is important, I suppose, for Leo XIV is he was part of all of that. Pope Francis, as I've often said, almost like he picked him as his successor by giving him the right jobs and by making him a cardinal right before the vote for the next one, 2023, I think it was. So Leo knew synodality firsthand. One of the ways he knew it was he was a missionary in Peru for a number of years. And I think he said the people in Peru helped him to know what the faith is all about. The simple people, he listened to them. That's a Francis kind of, that's a synodality statement that people in Peru helped him understand what his job was, how to be a missionary. So he was already living that. And at the same time, he was traveling with the Pope. As the Pope, this is Leo XIV, traveling with Francis seeing how he responded to people, how he was acting, and so on. So Leo's tuned in to synodality by his experience in Peru and by his experience as a bishop there. Before he was voted and after he was voted in as Pope, the question is, well, how will he, what does it mean that he's going to follow Francis? How serious will he be about synodality or not? And he actually said, am I repeating myself? He already said, I'm going to be a more synodal Pope than Francis was. And he's shown that already. You know, I've been critical of Francis and his own, I love Francis, as you know, and I think he was a great Pope. He showed what a simple faith in Jesus is all about, and the simple dress and all of that. the way he did synodality, it seemed to me that he kept a lot of control of it. So the synods that made the news were the ones in Rome in 2023 and 2024. And he really controlled a lot of that. He controlled what topics could be talked about. And he very often didn't do what the synod said to do, which is really... So I don't think he's a totally good model. I'm hoping Leo does better in a sense. I mean, a great example was the Amazon Synod. So at the Amazon Synod, that's all of the countries that are Amazon rainforest, and there's many bishops there, and the average person probably gets to go to mass about once a year. There's not enough priests and so on. And so the Amazon bishops all told Francis that he should ordain married men, good, solid married men, good people, good Christians. In Latin, we called it vir probati, that is, men of proven virtue, men of proven virtue. Ordain them so they could say Mass and have more people who go to Mass more often, celebrate the Eucharist. And he didn't do it. They asked him to do it, and he didn't do it. So this is all I'm saying, where my hopes are. Leo, we're talking about Leo XIV, that he will follow up on that. I'm waiting for the day when Leo goes down to the Amazon conference again and says, you guys still want to have good married men, ordained priests? You still want that? Yes. Well, let's do it. That's my sort of hope. Same way, a lot of Americans wanted to have women deacons. Pope Francis couldn't pull the trigger on that either. He couldn't do it, wouldn't do it. Thought there were reasons he couldn't do it. He had reasons for it. And I'm waiting for Pope Leo someday to say that. Now, we got another example of Leo the 14th. He has already met with the cardinals. So there's 120 cardinals usually about who can vote for the next pope. That's what they try to keep the number at. Sometimes it varies just a little bit. But I think there's now over 200 cardinals in the world. And if they're, some of them are too old, they can't vote. If you're over 80, you can't vote for the cardinals, for the next pope. They're not eligible to vote. So, but he met with them. And here's the key that is so telling to me. He let them choose the topic. He let them, what issues do you want to talk to? Now, when Francis was, here's the topic that we're going to talk about. Francis, here's the topic we're going to talk about. And he had already had a big say in who was there to talk. So Leo XIV has met with the cardinals. I think there's over a couple hundred of them altogether, not all eligible to vote. And he let them choose the topic. And who chooses the topic determines where it's going very often. In fact, latest, a great example of the Second Vatican Council was when they got there, the Roman Curia, the dicasteries, the Roman bureaucracy had said, here's our topics. And three of the cardinals and more progressive liberal said, no, wait a second. We don't want that. We want to decide what the topics are. And I remember one of the traditional Roman curial old time, nothing changes, guy saying, said the devil was at work today. The devil let them get on top of this so I don't control it anymore. They're going to say what the topics are. So it's a great sign of hope to me that that Pope Leo said that they could choose the topics. And he intends to meet with them regularly with the cardinals, and is already... And he's talking about future engagements that way. So, synodality.
And also, didn't Pope Leo, there's all those documents that came out of the 23 and 24 synods,
yes,
synodality, and he accepted them as is.
Right. Yes.
He didn't say, okay, we got to redo these.
Right.
And then there was a reading of them.
Yeah.
And he hung in there for all of them.
For
right?
all of it, yeah. That's a great point.
And there's something in 2028.
Yes.
Please, what, I can't.
A big meeting.
And he says, this is going to be the agenda, or this is
right.
based on this ground up
right.
conversation.
Yeah, yeah. So in a sense, he's bought the idea of how the way to renew the church is from the bottom up. You know, and I keep thinking, well, what does this mean to ordinary people? I mean, it's not, I do think it's important for American Catholics to realize that Pope Leo is not forgotten his roots. He criticizes the Trump administration as one who has lived here and knows what's going on. So it does make a big difference, it seems to me. And you know, I'm thinking, how would this happen? Synodality in a parish. And I was thinking, well, one way might be if the priest, the homilist, would meet with the representatives of the parish, maybe the parish council or something, and talk about the scripture readings for Sunday. So what would happen there is he would be getting feedback on the Sunday readings. And he's more likely to preach a homily that reflects what people are really thinking, especially if he gets a broad participation. If he just has his own cronies that he plays poker with, well, no, that isn't going to work. But if he meets on a weekly basis with a broad representative of young and old, black and white, conservatives and liberals and so on, and hears that, then he's more likely to be effective in his homily. And so they will say, man, I think he sits in on our bull sessions. Or I think he was there when I argued with my wife last night. You know, so that the homilies would be more effective. I'm thinking, too, that one of the splits in the church that synodality can overcome is between those who are very much in terms of pro-life, against abortion, strong people in the parish pro-life committee, and the social justice committee that wants to talk about racial justice and reaching out to the disadvantaged, and how can the church be a sign of hope for people in a disadvantaged part of our parish and so on. So it could bring those two things together also. What about, why did this come to my mind? I have no idea. A priest came to Corpus Christi, I was pastor there, and he gave obviously a misogynistic homily. I mean, it was against women. I mean, no respect for women. And I remember one of my students, I was in the back of church as I always was, greeting people and so on. And I overheard one of my students went up to, she said, "Hey, Father, I listened carefully to the homily and there were some good things I picked up, but you shouldn't talk about women like that. You shouldn't, that's offensive to me. We got brains, you know, we got intellect, we do good things. We're not just subservient to men." The priest about fell over, I mean, but I felt very proud of my student. I felt very proud that she spoke up and expressed, and she did it in a good way by acknowledging the good things he said, and then by offering her criticism. And I was always hoping that that guy might be more careful the next time. He wasn't invited back to Corpus Christi, by the way, to get a second chance. But anyway, so we're finding ways where it actually can, synodality can be carried on.
Yeah.
What are you going to remember, Brad? Synod means to walk with, right?
To walk with, collaboration, inclusion. Yeah. bottom up versus top down.
Yep. And follow the whole take of Vatican II that talked about the whole people of God, baptized people, called to holiness, and so on. And so let's get this in here too. We'll see what Francis was strong is. This means we should have to be against clericalism. The thing that's against synodality is clericalism. That is the priest running everything. Priest thinks that he's on a pedestal and knows everything and doesn't listen to the people. You know, clericalism is a bad thing when you're talking synodality. What do you want to oppose? Priests thinking they're running everything, or priests actually running everything. Bishops and dioceses, priests as pastors, and so on. Clericalism is the bad word. Synodality is the good word. We're gonna live that out. And over time, as I told you, I'm so hopeful. Leo XIV is a sign of hope. And the way he's approaching synodality, his opening gambits on it sound good to me, make me hopeful.
Let's leave it on that. Sign of hope as a way to end.
Always good. We need hope today.
We do need hope.
For sure.
Thank you, Father Basin.